The sermon that we're about to hear was preached by Reverend Keith Davis at Linwood URC. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the passage that we just read, God's Word describes something that we're all very, very familiar with. It describes something that we experience, that we live through every year, and every month, and every week, and even every moment of our lives. This passage speaks about time. But it describes more than just the passage of time. It describes the constant ebb and flow of events in our lives. This passage testifies to the fact that we live in a world of change. We live in a constant state of flux, and nothing stays the same for very long. We see that in the rising and setting of the sun, and we see that in the changing of the seasons. You don't like winter? No problem. Spring is right around the corner. You're having a bad day? No problem. Tomorrow is another day. But there's also the ever-changing tide of events in our own personal lives. The events of life push us from one extreme to the other. In many ways, life pushes and pulls our emotions in one direction and then in the other. In the span of only a few days, and sometimes even in the span of one day, we can go from the house of joy where there's uplifted hearts and laughter, cheerfulness and celebration, to the house of sorrow and mourning where there's heavy hearts and weeping. And even though many things in life happen exactly like we thought they would, so many other things happen that take us completely by surprise. And to be perfectly honest, we really have no way of knowing or telling what might happen to us next, or even what emotion will be demanded of us next. How often don't we say when tragedy strikes, who could have imagined that such and such would have happened to this person I know? Or who could imagine that that was the last time that I'd ever speak to him or her? Yeah, life takes us by surprise, and so much so that it seems that in our lives we march to a drumbeat that isn't even our own. We dance to a score of music that we didn't write. It's as if the circumstances of our lives dictate the pace, and we just numbly follow along, having very little to say, if any, in the situations that move us to joy or to move us to sorrow, to dancing or to mourning. So this much is true, friends. This much we know from experience. However, this passage is not designed to turn us into skeptics and cynics and unbelievers, nor is this passage designed to make us feel apathetic or indifferent about the drastic changes that occur in our world and in our own lives on a continual basis. Nor is this passage teaching us that this world is somehow spinning out of control and that we're all just victims of chance or fate. No, much to the contrary. This passage is teaching us one of the most important lessons in life, and that's this, that our God is in complete control of everything. Our God orders the universe. Our God orders our lives. And our God brings about every activity, every event, every change, with perfect power, absolute power and perfection, all according to His perfect plan. There's not one flaw in it. And as hard as it might be to believe at those terrible moments, God orders our lives in such a way that everything is beautiful in its time. God alone knows the end from the beginning. God alone knows what's best for each one of us from every day and every moment. And as children of God, we're called to believe that. We're called to trust God in all times and in all circumstances. And that's what we want to focus on this afternoon. The comfort that we derive in knowing that God makes all things beautiful in His time. Notice we derive comfort from the knowledge that there's divine purpose in everything around us. And that's precisely what verse 1 says. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Some people like to believe that time marches on aimlessly and indiscriminately. They believe that there's no rhyme or reason that anything ever happens. That we're all part of some endless circling years They say, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. What comes around, goes around, or even the contemporary version, stuff happens. People are born, people die. Today is here, but soon it'll be over. There are times of plenty and times of want, times of war and times of peace, time to sow seed and a time to reap the harvest, and some even chalk it up to karma, that if things aren't going well for you right now, that's okay. Things will balance out. They always do. So if you keep working hard, keep thinking positively, and keep doing the right thing, everything is going to work out. But as Christians, we have so much more to hold on to than that. We have so much more comfort than that from passages like this. We understand that while life takes many unexpected twists and turns, there is in everything a divine rhythm. There is in everything a divine rhyme and reason. In other words, as Christians, we understand that things don't just happen. They are divinely designed. Divinely designed. Even when people die suddenly and tragically, catastrophes happen, and things happen that appear to make little sense to us. We must not see these occurrences as a product of fate or chance. We don't see these accidents as falling outside the divine will or control of God. Rather, when people die, even tragically and unexpectedly, even loved ones, ones that we hold dear, we know and confess that God's hand is at work. None of us will die one moment sooner or one moment later than God has planned and designed. What we confess in question answer one, what we heard earlier, He, God, watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. And so as we look at our life on this earth below, and as we live out our days, we're comforted to know that our time, and time itself, has a goal and a purpose, a direction and a destination. This passage before us teaches us that. That time is not some imprecise and ambiguous and indefinite span or duration. No, time is God's time. Time is God's servant. God is the Lord and Master of time. The succession of days is in God's hands. And so when the sun comes up each day, we don't just shrug our shoulders and act as if it's another day, the same as the one before and the same as the one before that. We recognize that each new day is a gift from God. We sing with the psalmist, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And we serve the Lord with gladness for His mercies each and every new day. And when we worry that we'll lose our crop in the field, or that after several lean harvests, we wonder if there will ever be another good harvest, then we read Matthew 6:25, which says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" And when tragedy strikes our family or someone close to us, when we suffer financial loss, and even when we lose everything that we have in bankruptcy, we call to mind what Job said after the Lord took his 7 sons, his 3 daughters, all his livestock, his flocks, his servants, everything he had, when he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's the testimony of someone who understands the comfort of Ecclesiastes 3. To know that God is in control. And for each day, each week, for each month and each year, God has a perfect plan and direction for our lives. And you know what? When we think of all that this passage means to us, when we think of all that this passage points to, there's no greater point than this. That when we say there's a time for everything and everything in its time, there's no greater example and testimony than when God sent His only begotten Son into the world to live and to die for us. When did God send His Son? Galatians 4:4 says, "When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons." When the time had fully come, God's time. Consider that the Lord of time had planted a nation in Canaan. And after they rebelled, He brought a time of war, a time of renting and plucking and destruction. But now in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, God showed that it was time to mend, a time to heal. This was a time for God to make peace between Himself and His people forever. And this is the beauty of all of this, that when we say that God makes all things beautiful in His time, that most definitely pertains to His plan and His will for our lives. When we're His people, when we follow His ways, when we love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, then all that God plans for us, all that He wills for us, is to our benefit, and it will work out for our salvation, even our trials and our sufferings, our tribulations. But that beauty especially applies to the plan of salvation. As from the very beginning, God so orchestrated time, He so orchestrated history, that Christ would be born of Mary, He would grow up in Nazareth, He would follow John the Baptist, He would be betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter, beaten and spat upon by the guards, condemned by Pontius Pilate, and hung on the Roman cross, suffering hell for us. And then He died and was laid in the grave, all in God's time. That may not sound very beautiful, but on Easter morning, when the stone was rolled away, when the angels announced that He was not there but had risen, that was the most glorious morning of all of creation. That was the most beautiful news ever preached. Christ is risen. And then after Christ appeared to them and told them that all these things had to happen to Him, they finally understood. They finally understood that while there is a time to be born and a time to die, now because of what Jesus did on the cross, all of those who believed in Him, even though they will die, yet will they live. So in Jesus Christ there was a time to die, but also a time to rise from the grave. So death is no longer the stronger. Christ breaks the cycle. You see that in Jesus Christ there will soon come a day when there will be no more death, no more killing, no more tearing down, no more weeping, no more mourning, no more scattering, no more hatred, and no more war. That's because in Jesus Christ, that day will come when there will be no more sin. And just as Revelation 21 describes, that will be the day when the New Jerusalem descends out of heaven from God. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and they live with Him, and He shall live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So we see that in Revelation 21, we see the fulfillment of Ecclesiastes 3. It is the fulfillment of all of God's divine purposes in life. All of life and all of history and all of time itself is moving toward that one point in time, the Lord's return and His consummation of the kingdom. What a great comfort that is for us as we live our lives right now. As we live in a world of change. As we live in a world where earthquakes level entire cities. Where tsunamis wipe out entire villages. Where disease and sickness and cancer take its toll on us. Where we may encounter untold pain and misery, in a world where we know that we will die. The old will die, and even the young can die. And what a solid and lasting and eternal comfort this is in a world that offers us so much by way of weak and temporary comforts. Oh, to be sure, Christians aren't the only ones who are looking for comfort and know their need for comfort. People are well aware of the pain and misery that attends to this life every day. But they're pointing to all the wrong causes of the misery, and they look to all the wrong comforts for this misery. People think that money will drive away their fears, or companionship will make life easier. They put their confidence and find their trust in government or what others can do for them. But God shows us in His Word that time is the great equalizer for everybody's life. Time settles all affairs and closes all accounts. We may be very rich. We may have a great deal of material possessions. We may be very popular and make a great name for ourselves here in this life. But then time weakens us. No matter how tall we stood in life, no matter how strong and young and handsome, no matter how beautiful and elegant we are or were, time eventually catches up to us. Time steals away all these things, steals away all that we have in this life, our physical strength, our beauty, our wealth, our homes, and our possessions. Those who are older among us know this all too well. Just listen to the way Psalm 49 points this out. It ties so well into the message of Ecclesiastes 3. Psalm 49 says, "Do not be overawed when a man grows rich, when the splendor of his house increases, for he will take nothing with him when he dies. His splendor will not descend with him. Though while he lived, he counted himself blessed, and men praise you when you prosper. He will join the generation of his fathers who never see the light of life. A man who has riches without understanding is like a beast that perishes." The one who has understanding is the one who knows God, the one who serves God, the one who fears God. He or she is the one who understands that we don't find our comfort in the things of the world, but in the Creator and Savior of this world. The one who has understanding understands that time is ticking. Time will not go on forever, that the day of reckoning, the day of the Lord, the day of judgment will soon be at hand, and that is the day that we will have to give an account. That will be the day when both God and man will see what our comfort was in this life. But remember, until that day gets here, this is the day of grace. This is the day for us to turn our hearts away from sin and unbelief and from the temporary comforts of this world and believe in God, in the God who made us and gave our life purpose and direction. So let us use the time. Let us redeem the time so that on that day of the Lord, God won't have to ask us, "Why didn't you heed my voice? Why didn't you believe the gospel and repent from your sins? Why didn't you use the time that I gave you to serve me and to love me?" So, congregation, let's realize that today will not go on forever. There is a beginning and an end. And God alone knows when the end is, but with each day it draws closer. And who knows? This may be the very day that we are called to meet our Maker. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready to stand before God and give an account of your life and your faith? Do you have the comfort in knowing that you belong to your Savior for time and eternity, in body and soul, in life and in death? If not, then pray to God that you too may have that comfort, that you too may have that peace, that joy, that assurance. And for those of us who are already known and possess that comfort, pray that God may strengthen you in the knowledge of this comfort and deepen your love for Him, so that as we live and die in this world, that we will rest at ease knowing that He is ours, that we are His, and knowing that the time of His appearing is very close at hand. And very soon, the old order of things will pass away. Amen.